All right, lesson six, the responsibility of the husband. Let me start with a prayer, and then we're going to give a quick review and then sort of go through it. And it may be that we might can get through with lesson six today. We started just a little bit on it last week, but there's some great things in there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great, great morning. Thank you for our Savior Jesus. We thank you for the privilege we have as believers. Lord, we thank you for the foundation for all life is the family. Lord, we know that when you started, you didn't start with the government. You didn't start with the church. You started with the family. One man and one woman coming together. And we thank you for that. Help us, Lord, as we continue to look at the roles, the role of the wife, the role of the husband, the role of the parents, the role of the children, how all these things fit together so that we can, as those who believe in Jesus Christ, that we can live in our world, in our fallen world, as lights and examples of how to live and how the marriage relationship can be and should be. So we just ask you to help us, Lord, and teach us, help us as we go through all of this. Most of all, thank you again for Jesus, who is the greatest example of all, the one who loves us with an everlasting, unconditional, sacrificial love. Thank you for that. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let me just remind you of something. We've been looking at what we call recognizing the roles, and we're looking at the family as a whole. We spent two or three lessons on the family as a whole, and then we looked at the role of a wife, and then we looked at responsibilities of a wife. Then we looked at the role of a husband, and then we're looking now at the responsibilities of a husband. When we get through with that, we'll look at the role of children, and we'll look at role of parents, and we'll put it all together. And as I said, this study's sort of expanding, okay? So it may be some more lessons than what we originally had on our original handout, and so we'll get that as we go through it. Just one? Okay. Now, let me remind you of something. We talked about the family. We talked about the family unit is in a sense in trouble because we've got a world that says that family's not even important. That one man and one woman is not important. That the bottom line is that they want to say, let's rewrite it. Let's say that two men together, two women together, men and women not being married together, all of that can be a family. All of that can be anything you want. And we know that destroys the biblical principle and the biblical plan. And so we've been looking in these last weeks about the role of wives and role of husbands and all of those things. If you remember, now help me and let's think together on this. The role of the wife was twofold. Anybody remember what that was? To submit and to respect. So we called it respectful submission. We talked about the idea of submit to come under the authority because the husband's been placed at the head. We talked about that. And then we talked about respect, and it is an unconditional respect. She is to respect her husband whether, in a sense, whether he earns it or not. That's not the issue in the marriage relationship. So it's unconditional respect. So it's respectful submission. Then we said the wife had four responsibilities. Do you remember what they were? To love her. We did real good on that lesson. Love her what? Love her husband. Love her children. To be a pure woman and to take care of the house, right? Be a worker at home. Y'all might better go back over that lesson, women. I didn't hear the women shouting out their parts, and men, you should be shouting out their parts, right? Right? Tell them what to do. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Tell them what to do? Yeah, that'll work. That'll work. Let me tell you. That'll really work. Okay. Now, we then saw the role of the man, the role of the husband, and it was twofold. What was it? To love and to lead. So it's loving leadership. He is to love her as Christ loved the church. We're going to talk about that in just a second. And then he is to lead. Then we got into the husband's responsibilities. And there's going to be four things there. And we just started that last week. So let's do this. Let's sort of get a little brief review. And I know that they're right at the husband is to love and to lead. Go ahead with the next slide. That he is the loving leader. He is to love his wife. And how does he love his wife? Here's the thing. He is to love her unconditionally, sacrificially, and as his own self. Now, we said that because it's a picture. He's a picture of Christ. And he loves his wife unconditionally, just like Christ loves us unconditionally. He is to love her sacrificially. He's to love her enough to die for her, just as Christ loves us enough to die for us. And he is to love her as his own self because, really, the two have become one. She is the one himself, their one body. And in the same way that Christ loves us because we are the body of Christ. So we saw he loves his wife unconditionally and all and sacrificially himself. Then he is to lead his wife, and we talked about to lead spiritually, financially, and physically. It is the husband's responsibility to set the spiritual tone and direction in that home. It is the husband's responsibility. He is the spiritual leader of that family. Second, he is to set the idea financially. We're going to talk more about that, but he's the provider for the family. We'll get more information about that. But ever how who pays the bills, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how they did it. Husband needs to know what's going on and set that direction in a financial way. And then even the physical aspect of the things around the home. The man is bigger, stronger. It's just a different way of looking at it, and the man is to lead in a physical way. So we saw all of that. Then I think that we ended up by saying, okay, now we're the responsibilities. We come back to the husband who is to lead in love, and we're going to get the responsibilities, and they're four. I think we got the first one last time. Didn't we? Did we get the first one written down? Do you remember? Okay, let's get it. Here it is. The husband's responsibility. The first one is, should be the next slide, I think. The husband is to nourish. And if you look in Ephesians, and I'm sorry, I didn't even forgot to tell you, but go ahead, if you want to open to Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about where the husbands ought to love his wives as their own bodies. Who loves himself loves his wife. As he who loves his own wife loves himself. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes just as Christ does the church. So the first one we put is the word nourish. And the word nourish literally means to provide. I think the next slide, nourish means to provide or to take care of. Now the bottom line, it is, and we talked about this last week, so I won't go into a lot of details. It is the man's responsibility to provide for the needs of the family. I know in our society, and I met with a sweet couple yesterday, and they agreed totally with, but that we talked about what the world expects. The world expects that both people to work, and you put it all together, and you live off all of that. The bottom line is this, that it is the man's responsibility before God to provide for the needs of his family. Now, that doesn't mean that a wife can't work, and we got to be very clear on that. We're not saying women can't work outside the home. That's between the husband and the wife and how they want to do that. But her role is not the provider of the family. It is not. She may make money and they decide what they want to do with it, but he is responsible to provide. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, it talks about that if the man does not provide for the needs of his family, he's worse than an unbeliever. There are exceptions in life when maybe the husband is sick or temporarily out of work or in school or changing careers and all these things, but it's temporary. The temporary thing is, or the permanent thing is, that the man is the provider of the family. And our culture has got everything so mixed up. Some people even say, oh, that's not right. Where do you come up with that? Well, I came up with it right here. But anyway, that there, our culture has got people so mixed up that sometimes when you hear what the Bible says, it doesn't even seem right. And so the truth is, the man is the provider. He is to nourish. And when, like I said, not saying the woman can't work outside the home, but it's not her responsibility to provide. What I said last week, and I'm going to say this again, men, be very careful that you don't force your wife to work so that you can live at a higher standard of living. Be very careful, because that's what happens in our culture. Both people work, they put it all together, and they live at this higher standard of living. Be really careful, because you've asked the wife to do two roles instead of one. Okay? So don't add to the wife's pressure of what her role is by asking her to provide as well. So men are to provide for the needs of their families. That's the key. And men, step up. This is what, it's a challenge to all of us. Step up and take care of your families. There may be some guys who say, look, I'm going to have some additional skills because the job I have, it is not paying enough. Okay, then go get trained. Go get something else. Work it. Find something that you love to do that you can do, and you can do it well, and make a living. You know, and when some people say things like, well, there's just not enough. Well, you know, God says, I'll provide for all your needs, and I'm going to provide through your husband. That's the plan. And if for some reason you're saying we can't live off that either, he has a job that just is not making any money and he's going to have to make some changes, or you're attempting to live too high. In our culture, we tend to live too high. Yeah, and you get yourselves into debt and credit cards and all kind of loans and all kind of things, which will get you. We're going to talk a little bit about that when we get over a little further, especially when we get into parents and children and we talk about households. We're going to deal a little bit with the financial issue just a little bit as well. I just think that's important that we talk through that. So, number one, men provide for their family. Number two, They're to cherish. The word the husband is to protect the family. That's what he is. He is the protector. When a man cherishes something, he takes care of it. He considers it valuable. He looks at his wife and his family and he says they are valuable. And the word cherish, let me see if the next slide, I think, the word cherish has an idea of protection, because you say, this is so valuable to me, I'm taking care of it. I'm protecting it. The man is the protector of the family. Now, in our culture today, and I talk with guys about this all the time, men don't know what we're supposed to do anymore, because the culture has warped everything so much. Men don't even know they're supposed to be men. Men don't know they're the provider, protector of the family. Men don't know that they're the knight in shining armor. They're the prince who defends their lives, their wives, their families. And when you think of Braveheart and you think of the Lord of the Rings, and you think all these are the men stepping forward and saying, we are defending our families and our lives. And what happens today is men don't know what they're supposed to do. And the men need to step forward and say, look, I am the provider, protector of my family. That's who I am. So I always make the joke to the guy when we do premarital counseling. I say, you're the provider and you're the protector. I say, if somebody breaks in the house, who fights? You do. You're the defender of your family. And that's what men are supposed to do. And look at this. The safety and security of the family belongs to the husband. Belongs to the husband. He is to count his wife as valuable. We must get back to seeing that our wives are special. They're a treasured gift from God, and we need to look at them in that way and protect them physically and emotionally. The man is the protector of the family. He is the knight. He is the warrior. Several books came out years ago called The Warrior. Stu Weber wrote a book called The Warrior. Point Man by, what's his name? My mind's blank. Who wrote Point Man? Stephen Farrar. Yeah, and what they did is they were trying to get men to realize you are the point man in your family. You're the leader. You're the provider, protector. You're the defender of your family. And the husband and the wife are a picture of Christ in the church. Who takes care of the church? Christ does, right? Listen to this. Now, this is the truth. Men are attracted by beauty, personality, and character. I mean, beauty just gets us. We go, wow, right? You know, but women are attracted by safety, security, and character. Let me just tell you, sometimes we're in premarital counseling with these young couples and they're about to get married, and I'll say, what is it that really attracted her to you? And he'll go, she's pretty. That's right, right? That's the first thing. She's real pretty. And others, okay, and it's true. And then he loves her too, and he loves her character, but he's attracted to her beauty, because that's what men are visual. But when you say to her, what is it that attracted you to, you know, him to you? And she says, well, when I'm with him, I feel safe. I feel safe and secure and protected and character. And there's a trust involved. So men are attracted by beauty and personality and character. Women are attracted by safety, security, and character. We must protect our families and protect our wives. The husband is the provider, protector of the family. Remember this? Men feel loved when they're respected. Women feel loved when they're protected. When you're in a family and you have financial problems, for the guy, he goes, well, we got problems. I owe this money, but I'm okay. For the woman, she's lost her security right there. She didn't want to have all this debt. She didn't want to have financial problems. She wants to know where everything's going and is everything okay. And see, for a man, oftentimes when a man is in financial trouble, you know what he does? He goes out and buys something big. To say to himself, I can still buy something big if I want to. You just put them in much more debt, but that's what they do. For a woman, when she's in financial trouble, she's not going to go buy something like that. So men feel loved when they're respected. We talked about that in that book, Love and Respect. Women feel loved when they're protected. We must fulfill our role. Fulfill our role, overall role of loving and leading, but then in these responsibilities, providing and protecting. Now, there's more. So let's do this. Let's turn to 1 Peter 3. Turn over there for a second. We're going to see some more. Now, if you remember in 1 Peter 3, a lot of the, 1 Peter 3 starting about verse 1 through 1 through 6, it's about the woman. It's her role. It's what she's supposed to do. Okay? And her responsibilities. It says, in the same ways, wives, you be submissive to your own husbands. It even tells you what to do if the husband's not doing what he's supposed to do. It says, here's what you do. You be submissive to your own husbands, even if they're disobedient to the word, that they may be won without a word by the behavior of the wives, as they see your chaste and respectful behavior. And it goes on and on and on. Then it gets to the guy. And so the third point, we've seen that men are to provide, men are to protect. Here's the third one. Men are to be understanding. The husband is to be understanding. Look at verse 7. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way. An understanding manner. I don't know if that's the next slide or not. Husbands live in an understanding way. Okay, now it says, the word understand, that idea has an idea of to know. Husbands live in an understanding way, in an understanding man. It means to be sensitive to her. It means to actually know what she's like. To know what builds her up and what tears her down. And what guys have to do is we have to spend time doing that. A lot of times we don't want to spend time doing that because we got our other stuff we want to do, right? And you remember we talked about this, about talking and sharing and spending time, and that we go to work and we use all our words up at work, and when we come home, she's got twice as many words as we have, and she hadn't used hardly any of them during the day. And we come home and she's got all her words left to talk, and we've used all our words up. And we got to be real careful that we're not understanding, that we're sensitive. We must be able to communicate. One of the key things, and I've got this written down, is that men do not talk. You know, before marriage, I always say that, you know, men are hunters and women are gatherers, right? As a whole. And when we go to Walmart, we're not shopping. We don't shop. We already know what we're going to. If we walk in the door and they say, can you help? You say, yeah, weed eater. I know where that is. It's the green one. I want the green one over there. Right? We know. But women can, as a whole, can shop. Can you not? I mean, you know. And so men are hunters. And what do they hunt? They hunt the woman they're going to marry. They're doing everything that they'll do whatever it takes to get her. They'll even be sensitive. They will watch a girl movie. She says, let's go see that movie. They're not married. And he goes, oh, yeah, I'd love to see that movie with you. And then after they're married, he said, I'm not seeing that kind of movie, right? He was sensitive before, huh? Because he was hunting. He was grabbing. Once he got her, he says, now I got her. And what men tend to do is we got that. So now what are we going to do? Well, we're going after something else. Usually it's a job or a career or a hobby. And we say, well, I'm okay with her because I already got her, right? And all the sensitivity that we had to get her kind of goes out the window. So what you have to do is continue to be sensitive. Listen to this. This is an Ann Landers, and it's been several years ago, but here's what it says. Dear Ann Landers, my husband doesn't talk to me. He just sits there night after night reading the newspaper or looking at TV. When I ask him a question, he grunts, huh? Or, uh-huh. Sometimes he doesn't even grunt, uh-huh. All he really needs is a housekeeper and somebody to sleep with him when he feels like it. He can buy both. There are times when I wonder why he got married. All right? So we have to live with our wives in a what kind of way? Understanding. Got to know what builds them up, tears them down. Are we sensitive to the feelings? Now, here's what Charles Stanley said, okay? He said, in infancy, a woman needs love. In childhood, she needs fun. In her 20s, she needs romance. In her 30s, she needs admiration. In her 40s, she needs sympathy. And in her 50s, she needs cash. I don't necessarily agree with that. But the bottom line is she needs love and care. Now notice the verse carefully. Husbands, this is verse 7. Husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone, what? Weaker. She is the what? The weaker vessel. What is that? Let me say this. If one is a weaker vessel, the other one is a weak vessel. Okay? It's not saying we're strong and they're weak. It's saying they're just weaker in the sense they're, the word weaker there has an idea of delicate. It's a different word. It has an idea of delicate. It's not bad. It's actually good. Men and women are totally different. God made them different. He made them to be a delicate vessel. Men are the warriors, the princes, the defenders, the providers, the protectors. That's not the women's job. It's not the role. And so a man must provide, protect, live with her in an understanding manner. And that's sensitivity. And that's not easy. And then we take to the last one. Husbands are to honor their wives. We must continue to be sensitive and continue to honor her. Notice what the verse says. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker, since she is a woman. See, someone weaker, since she is a woman. She's not a man. She's different. Our culture wants to say that men and women are the same. They're not the same. They don't look the same, let me tell you that. And they're not the same. They're not the same emotionally. They're not the same mentally. They're not the same intellectually. They're not the same physically. They're not the same in any way, shape, or form. And when our culture wants to say everybody's the same and everybody can do everything the same, it is not work that way. And he says, live with your wives in an understanding manner as with someone weaker, since she is a woman. And then notice what it says. And show her honor. Honor. And honor is that idea to realize that God made each of us in a different way, neither inferior or superior, different emotionally, intellectually, physically. And he says, and grant her honor. Show her honor as fellow heirs. Why grant her honor? Why treasure her? Why? Notice what the verse says. And show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. She's a fellow heir. Both husband and wife have eternal life. Both husband and wife, you know, before Jesus Christ, there is no distinction. Husbands are saved and wives are saved. Men and women are saved in the same way, simply by faith and alone. And when a person believes in Jesus Christ, they become children of God. Whether you're a man or woman, you're a child of God. And you both have eternal life, and you both have different gifts, talents, and abilities, and all of those things tie together. Now, he closes with a warning. What if you don't live with your wife in an understanding manner? What if you don't recognize that she is a woman? What if you don't honor her as a fellow heir of the grace of life? Look what the warning is. So that your prayers will not be hindered. There's a whole spiritual aspect in this thing. And we may think we just go through life and how we treat our wives or our husbands and all that doesn't matter, but it has a spiritual dimension to this, and it's actually a right and wrong issue. And if you want to be in fellowship and that your prayers not be hindered and you do the right kind of things, then we do what we're supposed to do. If we're not fulfilling our roles, being sensitive to our wives, our relationship with God is hindered. We don't think about it that way, but it does. We're not only to treasure them, but to be sensitive and live in an understanding manner. Is that the first bell or the second? That's first bell? First bell. Okay. Okay. They're a little behind on the time, but that's okay. We need time. We need time. So what are we saying? Men, are we providing for the needs of our families? Men, are we giving them protection and security, treasuring them as gifts from God? That's the protectors. Are we being sensitive to our wives, understanding them? Are we honoring our wives? You know, we spent two lessons basically on the role of the wife, which is to submit and respect. And then we saw her to love her husband, love her children, be a pure woman and take care of the home. And we went through those lessons. Now we got men and we're saying, what are we supposed to do? Well, we're the loving leaders. We're to love and to lead. And how do we do that? We provide, we protect, we're sensitive, and we honor. And we're to do those things. And none of it is easy. None of it is easy on either side. And remember, we talked about this whole thing of that cycle of not loving and not respecting and not doing what we're supposed to do. And what you have to do is you have to stop the cycle, and it has to start with you. It has to stop with you. You may say, well, if she did this, then I would do this. It doesn't matter. One of the things you have to recognize is if your husband or your wife does not one thing that they are supposed to do, you are supposed to do everything you are supposed to do. We could say, that's not fair. Whoever said it was fair? Whoever said it was fair? It's not. We have the privilege of being placed by God as a man. We have the privilege of being placed by God as the head. It is a great responsibility. We're to be loving leaders, providing, protecting, understanding our wives, and honoring them. Now, here's the challenge, I won't be here next Sunday, so since I can say this today, you won't remember it anyway. See, so by 2 weeks later, it'll be like it's new. But anyway, the truth is, I want to just challenge us guys for just a second. And what I have seen in our culture is that, first of all, if you go back 30 years ago, Men were getting married at age 24 and women were getting married at age 21. Now men are getting married at 27, 28. Women are getting married at 24, 25. That's the average age. What's happening? We're continuing to delay getting married. What we're actually doing is continually delaying growing up and taking responsibility. That's what's happening. We got a whole culture of boys. This is what I see when I see with a lot of guys. They're just still boys. They don't want responsibility yet. And so the challenge to the men is stop being boys and stop living for what we want in our lives and being men. And I've got right here, stop being passive, because that's what our culture is for men. We're passive. There are many men who are aggressive at work and are passive at home. And you got to stop being passive in the house. We got to. When I say you, I mean me. We got to stop being passive. A real man rejects passivity, accepts responsibility, and lives courageously. I want to stop with this. Listen to this. And we'll look at these verses next time. But you know Micah chapter 6, verse 8? We have to be godly. You know what Micah says? You want to be a godly man? He says, What does God require of you to be a godly man? Look what it says. Be just. Show mercy. And be humble. That's the key. And we'll see it when next time when we get back together. I'll kind of start right here and we'll go through this and we'll finish this out. But there's still some things here we need to talk about, because the bottom line is the culture is shaping everything. You've heard me say this over and over again, and I want you to put this in your mind. If you are not consciously being transformed by the Word of God, you are unconsciously being conformed to the world. If you are not consciously saying, I'm going to live by the Scripture and be transformed by the Word of God, you're unconsciously, you don't even know it, you're unconsciously being conformed to what this world says. And most of the time we have bought into the roles, we bought into the family, we bought into the lifestyle. When you look in the Scripture, the Scripture doesn't say borrow so much that you can't make it. And that's what we do though. And we say, well, everybody does that. Everybody does this. Everybody buys this. Everybody does this. It doesn't matter what everybody does. So we got to do that. I know that's second bell. Okay, we'll get this when we get back. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the men in this church. And Lord, we are unique in the sense that so many men step forward. And so many men take leadership. And Lord, I thank you for the men that take leadership in their homes and in the church and in their jobs, and they just do so much. Thank you for these godly men who are doing the roles, who are providing and protecting, who are loving leaders, who are providing and protecting and being understanding and honoring their wives and doing all the things and that they're supposed to do. Lord, would you encourage us all? And may we do what we're supposed to do. And Lord, as we think about the roles and responsibilities of the wives and the roles and responsibilities of the husbands, that we as believers, that we would stand strong in a fallen world to live out who we are in Christ, living in such a way that people will look at us and realize that we're different because we live by the principles of the Bible. Lord, thank you for this Sunday school class, the fun that we have. Continue to teach us. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thanks. We'll get more next time.